This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So there's a lot of good stuff today, and I just want to revisit real quick Isaiah, the reading from Isaiah. And as I'm reading this, I was like, you know, I probably should do a little explaining about this six-winged animal that puts hot coal on the guy's tongue. Imagine that, six wings, but we're not going to talk about that today. Have you ever felt like you've given all you've got, everything you have, and yet you still came up empty? You've worked hard, you followed all what people said were the right steps, you poured yourself in to what you believed to be your calling, whatever it was on your life that you were called to do, and yet still the results didn't quite seem to match the effort. If you've ever felt that way, then I have good news. Today you're in good company. Because that's exactly where we meet the disciples. Simon and his partners, we hear, had spent the entire night fishing. But they had caught nothing. Not even like little fish. They had caught nothing. Now it's important to understand that these were skilled fishermen. They weren't like Christy going out on the dock trying to catch a fish that doesn't know what she's doing. This was their livelihood. They were good at their vocation. And yet they were out all night and caught nothing. They knew the waters, they knew the techniques, they knew the right conditions, they knew the right fishing holes, and yet their nets were still empty. How many of us know this feeling? We do our best. We follow the right steps. And still feel like we're failing. We work hard at our jobs, but never see a promotion. We invest in people, but our relationships remain strained. We seek God's guidance, but feel like there's just silence on the other end. But this story can help remind us that human effort alone isn't enough. No matter how much skill or experience we have, there will always be moments we come up empty when we do it on our own. So imagine this setting. Jesus is standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He's surrounded by eager crowds. Like, so let's pretend you guys all the lake and the crowds. And he's surrounded by eager crowds, and he's sort of down here at their level, right? And they're like, I can't hear you. Now, how exciting must they have been to shout out, we can't hear what you're saying. So he is already, his reputation has already attracted many people. So he says, well, I need to get up a little higher because, you know, they knew things about acoustics back then. And so he pulls the boat up, and he goes, let me stand in the boat. And then all of a sudden, right, he creates a little amphitheater. But it was in that moment of stepping into this boat of someone that changed their life. They were exhausted. They were washing their nets, not really paying attention to this crowd on the shore. They were over there. They'd been fishing all night. They're washing their nets, a night full of fruitless work. Jesus sees an opportunity so that the crowds can hear him. But you also, you know, we know Jesus, right? So Jesus kind of knew what was going on in the background. He steps into Simon Peter's boat. He asks to push him out a little bit from the shore so that the crowds can hear him. You know, it's funny because they don't know each other at this point. Simon and his partners were just going about their daily work, and then Jesus shows up. Doesn't it often work that way? Jesus doesn't always show up in these dramatic ways, but rather shows up in the ordinary, at work, at home, in the daily routines of life, in the mundane, in the necessary, often tedious tasks. And Jesus steps into the boat and teaches the crowds. And I think it's important when we think about our own journey with Jesus, before calling Simon Peter to a new mission, Jesus meets him right where he is. Exhausted, frustrated, probably smells a lot like fish, salt water, sweat, maybe some tears. Jesus meets him right there. Because you see, God is not distant, somewhere out there as we struggle in our daily lives. God is right here, engaging with us in the midst of our normal lives. And so after teaching, Jesus turns around and he issues a surprising command to Simon. Put out into the deeper water, he says, and let down your nets for a catch. Now, to Simon and probably the other fishermen, this seems like an illogical request. They are experienced fishermen, and they're wise enough to know that they just got done fishing. I doubt that the tide came in, and they all showed up. And Simon's response reveals his skepticism, right? He says, look, master, we have worked. Some translate this as toiled, and I love that word, toiled. We have toiled all night, and we've caught nothing. So I imagine there's a long pause here, right? Jesus is like, he's in the boat. Simon's like, look, we've been doing this all night. There's nothing. But we don't hear Jesus' reply. I imagine Jesus just stands there. Are you going to do what I've asked? And so finally, Simon says, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Now, his hesitation is understandable. He's exhausted. He's discouraged. He has every reason to doubt that this is going to change anything. But what happens actually changes everything. Because you say so, I'll let down the nets. This is the turning point. Simon Peter chooses obedience over experience. All the experience in the world told him this is going to be fruitless, but he chooses obedience to Jesus instead of his experience. He's frustrated and tired, but he chooses faith. Okay, if you say so, he chooses faith over his frustration. Sometimes, maybe more often than not, God asks us to step out in faith. Even when it doesn't make sense. And in this, God's abundance follows Simon's obedience. You see, when we trust Jesus, even when it doesn't make any sense at all, we give power to God. We give God the power and the space to work in our lives. When we trust Jesus, even when it doesn't make any sense at all, we give God room to work and move. Now, Simon's obedience in this story leads him to an astonishing result, right? They catch so much fish that their nets begin to break, and both boats, two boats, are filled so much that they're starting to sink. And Simon Peter is overcome with emotion in what he's just witnessed. And he sees this miracle that has happened right before his eyes. And he fell to Jesus' feet and he kneels and he says, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. In other words, he's saying, I do not deserve your abundance. I do not deserve what you have just given us, Lord. But Jesus doesn't reject him and say, yeah, I know, but I did it anyway. Instead, Jesus looks at him and he says, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. Simon Peter's encounter with Jesus didn't just fill his nets, but it changed his life. And it changed the lives of those around him. He and the others, James and John, they left everything they had to follow Jesus in that moment. Everything. Now, mind you, they left everything, which includes their entire livelihood. The boat full of fish was probably worth a lot of money. And they looked at it, and they looked at Jesus, and they said, "We're going here." I'm sure they were excited about the fish, but it didn't take them long to realize that whatever was happening with this man Jesus was far bigger and far more important and was going to take them places far grander than any earthly success. Because they could have just as easily said, "Wow, Jesus, that sounds awesome, but can we take this to the bank first?" Because they knew what was about to happen in their life was going to create more joy and more wonder and more happiness than any earthly success. Now, it's not always easy for us, is it, to immediately see where God is working and choose to chase and follow it versus what the world tells us is where we will find our joy. But there are so many things that we can look at this short story about the disciples choosing to follow Jesus. There are so many things that we can take to live out our own life. For one thing, even when circumstances don't seem favorable, can we trust and obey God? Simon had to fish at an unlikely time in an unlikely place, and sometimes Jesus does step out and ask us to step out in faith, even when logic tells us otherwise. Are we willing to trust that? Are we willing to trust that what Jesus commands and asks of us doesn't fit with our logic? We learn that where human effort fails, God provides abundantly. When we're trying to do it all on our own, we turn to God. God can provide abundantly. Perhaps most importantly for their journey, these disciples, recognizing his sinfulness right away, his unworthiness. "I am unworthy, God, for this blessing that you have given me. I am unworthy, Jesus, for what you have laid before me." Recognizing his own unworthiness in light of Jesus' holiness. That was the beginning of his discipleship. Following Jesus may require us to leave behind our old ways. Are we ready? Are we ready to leave our comfort zone to follow Jesus? So I ask today, where in your life do you feel like you have empty nets? Maybe you don't. How can you share that abundance with others? Is Jesus asking you to trust in a deeper way? To go out into the deeper waters and see what God has for you out there. The deeper waters of faith. Maybe God is calling you beyond what you think you're capable of. Just as Jesus did with Simon Peter, Jesus can take our failures. God can take our failures and turn them into testimony. Jesus took their failure of that night and turned it into a testimony. And then he called them to a new life with a different purpose. And none of it made sense at all. So I ask, when we come to meet Jesus, are we really ready? Are we ready to trust Jesus even when it doesn't make sense? I don't know. Come and see.